We're talking today about all forms of commitment, be it lovers, friendships, even committing to an event or outing with others, our fear of being left high and dry by a lover we commit to, or the social anxiety that arises for many of us when we get asked to commit to an event or a social outing can cause us to clock out of our relationships long before they have had a chance to really blossom. So what is the real issue?
I have a question. This is the real issue. When did you get out of the county asylum? Because I noticed
they let me out. No, they didn't let me out, but don't tell anybody.
Now, what you told, for you people in Homeland, you told our director of photography that you, when you said, oh, I had to put the buckle there for when I wear it.
Correct.
When did you wear that?
Well, I wore it for the intro.
Oh, but you said, no, you didn't say I'm wearing it now, you know, but it made it seem like you wear that before though.
Oh, like this is just my Sunday evening attire.
Yeah. Do you ever wear it to like a dinner?
Or? I mean, sometimes when I check into the hospital.
And then you wear it.
I just sneak back in.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah. But otherwise.
Okay.
Yeah.
So moving on.
It's kind of like some people wear robes. I feel most comfortable in this. It's home for me, you know?
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Brings me back to my origins.
I'm just jealous. I guess I'm just jealous of it is really what it is. Okay. So I love your outfit, by the way, for 1960s. Kind of like.
Thank you.
Yeah, baby.
That
was an era that would really be, we didn't get to live through it, unfortunately, but it'd be really cool to visit that era.
Not for me. I'm Mexican, half Mexican. Oh, probably not the best for me. I mean, I'm sure it was okay, but I don't think I was in the space where I am now where I feel like being, you know, of mixed background is much more. I mean, if I live somewhere else, maybe, but in this particular place, it might not have worked as
for
good.
Sure. And you know what's funny is
I'm female and Latina. So it could have been a shaky situation.
You know, I think I made a Western and other things, but and we'll deviate on for this, and I'd love to run my mouth, so I apologize. But I would love to see a Western. Maybe there is one. Somebody could write in and tell us what it is, because I'd really love to know. Mm-hmm. I wish there was a Western you'd shoot it today, like a modern Western that took place back in the late 1800s. Yeah. And there's some really good ones, but do one where it's the cowboy, the obligatory. He's a marshal. Mm-hmm. It's a guy, whatever. He gringo, so a white guy, but he goes down and he falls in love with a Latina. South of the border, as it were. And I think to get to pull out the wonderful dynamicism and wonder of these women from that era, it's like the, I forgot what they call them. It's the female with the bandolier, with the shotgun. What is she called? Alita, whatever she is. It's that character. It's like Viva la Mexico, like that. We all know who that is, but I forgot what that's from. But like going down there and exploring that, because I love, my significant other is of Latin American descent and she is a Latina, and I'm very happy to share those spaces with her. So, okay. But as a segue, you have been in relationship throughout your life, right? More than one. You've been in a few relationships.
Always been in relationship with someone, whether it's my parents, my friends.
Good point. Okay. And have you, like, when we talk about commitment and you have seen a lack of commitment in some relationships. Can we talk about that and then dive into it?
Oh yeah. Lack of commitment. Well, you know, it's been the journey of one's dating life sounds like what we're kind of broaching here. And I think there's been so many places where I felt that uncertainty of, I thought at the time, especially in my younger years, in my younger dating years, that it was an external deal, solely an external deal, whether I was going to feel like I could trust this person's going to be there, whether I can trust this person's committed.
So it's kind of more on him.
Is what I thought, okay. Right. And come to find out later in life, as I, you know, worked on myself and whatnot, that it's largely to do with my ability to show up and commit to myself. And I think until we can recognize that our commitments from the other people kind of show to us, or that we're noticing in our relationships in our life, are a direct and exact reflection to the commitment that we have to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like until we make that connection and we start showing up for ourselves in the way we want to be shown up for by other people, and until we make that commitment to, you know, literally being with ourselves, not abandoning ourselves, not being assholes to ourselves, then we will continue having people show up in our lives that mirror.
Yeah, because like you said before, you tend to attract things of people of like mind. And as an aside, because I really want to get into this commitment and the types of commitment, but as an aside, I have to say, you know, to the viewers, you know, you guys watch us and you followed Mercedes for however long and you really dive into her world. And you know her, you've known her, you now know her pretty, you're starting to know her. I will tell you, commitment for you is an understatement from me receiving you, because you've always shown up to the fight. You've always done what you said you're going to do. You go above and beyond. You return phone calls. You're such a I feel like it's just kind of like enlightening. It shouldn't be this way, but I'm so, and you're saying I'm going with this. It shouldn't be this way when somebody's so...
Shouldn't be so prominent when someone does that and shows up.
But when
someone's a show up person, it's like, where
have you been my whole life?
Are you, does this exist? And that's so fucking sad. And I do believe that that's one of the things that I hope I bring like light to for people in my life is that, you know, and I might use the term even loyal, like a loyal friend, a loyal partner, you know, loyal. But when I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do my damnedest to do something. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's like some of it though gets to a toxic direction. Like I've gotten an IV because I was so sick. You know, I had a fever that I couldn't break. So, I was actually at a Bellator MMA event that I was working. And
well, what happened there? Just because
I was so sick. I had the flu of some sort, It was lasting for several days. I couldn't break this
damn fever.
Trying
to hold it together, and it was kind of
yeah. And I had to show up at weigh-ins and then fight night and that. So, but because I needed to go show up to work, I had one of the cut men, because we have, you know, medical staff on.
What is a cut man?
Cut man is a guy who comes and he basically cleans up the cuts, or
kind
in
like
the middle
a medic,
of the fight,
maybe.
Like in the middle of the, you know, right when a round is over,
so
he jumps in
and
he's got
like
the, exactly,
okay,
he's
got
the swabs and he's got the adrenaline, he puts it in the cut and he like, you know, sutures you up real quick so you can get back in the fight.
I want a cut man.
Yeah. And
mentally.
So luckily, you know, I know these people, they're like my family because they're on the Bellator team. And so I had him come to the room and IV me so that I could get some fluids in me, you know, and hopefully help the fever. It didn't help, but it was a great attempt. Thank you.
Hey,
thank you,
had
Matt.
Somebody there
thank
to work
you, Matt.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Matt and Dean.
Dean.
Yeah.
Sorry. Matt and Dean. What was the commitment part of that?
The point is that I still showed up to the,
well,
to
did.
The event. Not, and I'm bringing that up because that's to a toxic degree. I should have called out, like, I was sick. I was down for the count. I should have fucking taken a nap. You know what I mean?
But you're a fighter and you fought through it.
Already in that mode of like, no, I was a workaholic is what it was.
Okay, and that's what I want to know. Why, what was your, okay, so you're
like
sitting
what
there.
Drives someone to be extraordinarily loyal to a fault, I call it, loyal to a fault. Because we want to know how we can go to the other extreme we don't want to get to, right? Yeah. So I think what has driven me to that was really the fear of what happens whenever you're not a show up person, because I saw that in my life in times, you know, I saw that, what that looked like, which of course, you know, you always kind of swing to the opposite of what you grow up under. Right. So you kind of swing to the whole other extreme, which is also toxic. Both extremes are.
Right.
So I swung to the other extreme and it was about, you know, showing up and workaholic. And if I'm, you know, say yes to everything, people please, all these things. So that was for me, it was showing up and, being adamant about whatever I say I'm going to do was really important to me to a degree that was unhealthy. And it's taken me a long time to, and it's still, I have, you know, issue with this where I overcommit or I, put myself in a situation where I'm like, when it comes around on the calendar, I'm like, fuck, I really don't want to do that.
And when you say
overcome,
right.
Yeah.
And when and I think I'm guilty of that as well. Like, why?
We just
got to
get better at knowing what our capacity is. And when we say yes to something, knowing that that thing is going to actually drive us towards where we want to go. So that when it shows up on the calendar, it comes around, we can go, okay, cool. This is still on direction for me. This is still in the, you know, direction I want to go. So it doesn't feel like you're shitting on yourself. You're transgressing.
Well, and what should we do in this scenario? Because I'm happy about this. The scenario that you committed to something, because we all do this. You commit to something and it's a month out or whatever. And you're like, yeah, that's, and you thought about it. Like, yeah, I can do that. That's good. We'll work through it. Okay, whatever. And then it's like, now forget the fact that you have a flu, and we're not going to talk about that because that's a different scenario, but you're just like,
that's an obvious one.
Yeah, that's an obvious one, especially in post-COVID.
Although, don't you know a lot of people who, whenever the thing comes up, they go, you know, I'm not feeling good today.
I'm not in my best.
And you're like, you're just a fucking flaky person. Let's be real. You flaked the last four times we made plans.
Yeah.
I want to ask about that. This is the other side of the extreme.
But since we're on that real quick, what is the flake out rule in your opinion?
Like, how many flakes?
Yeah, how many flakes do you get?
As I age, I'm getting more and more condensed on this flake out
rule.
So
it might have been 10 flakes and now it's down to, not you, but I'm saying flaker.
I understand what you're saying. Right. Yeah. When I make plans with someone, you can pretty much know that unless I'm on my fucking deathbed, I'm going to show up for it. Right. Mm-hmm. So on the other end of it, of course, however we're acting, we expect other people to act. Now it's not probably reasonable for me to expect people to act to that
because
I'm in an unhealthy
alien robot,
even though I have moved to more balance, like we've discussed. So when it comes to someone else showing up, it's very noticeable when they don't show up for whatever they've promised to show up for, whatever thing we put on the calendar, whatever it is. The first time, fine, no worries. It doesn't even faze me. The second time, I'm like, okay, noted.
Red flag.
Right. The third time, I'm like, not making a plan. I won't make a plan again with that person.
So the third fail, it's three strikes. The third fail, and that's not, you didn't do it because it's three strikes. Yeah. That actually makes a lot of sense because you give them a break on the first
one. I'm happy to know them and go to places that they happen to end up.
See them at a party, you'll talk to them.
Yeah, right. And if some time passes by, maybe I think they've realized that they're a fucking a-hole. And
no a-holes.
If they make an invitation, I won't make an invitation at that point, though. I'll wait for an invitation
if it works itself out.
And not worried about it. And then if it does, I will show up. But then, you know, now I'm opening that can of worms again. Mm-hmm. So now they're on a one-strike rule.
Okay, they
are.
So
if some time has passed, and maybe they've grown to a person who shows up, I give them that other chance, but it's not like three strikes again. It's like, now we make a plan, and if you don't show up for that plan,
you're toast.
Yeah.
And so
I don't hate the person. Learned this part of being a kind human.
Well, I'm glad to know
a considerate human.
And that's something that we can take away from that. And I like that. I'm like, okay, that actually makes a lot of sense in deployable fashion. Okay, so back to the scenario. You made these plans a month out. You had good intent. Yeah, and you genuinely thought, yep, that would be good. And you go there. Now it's like 2 days before, a day before, and you're like, man, I got out of something I also really need to do, or this doesn't push my narrative, or whatever it is. Whatever
I've already
it is.
I've already screwed the pooch in that direction. Yeah, I still fucking do it.
You still do
I
it.
I do it.
You still do it.
I still do it. And it's important for me to do it because I actually believe this through and through my whole being. Even though it's something that it doesn't drive my narrative, this is a learning moment for me to stop saying yes to shit because I feel the suffering and I have to slow down with that and be like, okay, acknowledged, fucking, I'll journal it. You know what I mean? I'll be like, we're not going
to
do
self.
This again. Yeah.
Yeah.
At least not in this same way. We're not going to have the same pattern run again. But me showing up to the thing that I put on the calendar and I committed to and said yes and promised to someone else is essentially me showing up to a promise. Mm-hmm. And it also is me showing up to, like, when I show up to a promise for someone else, it builds trust with myself because I know in the same way I show up for myself. When I make a promise to myself or a commitment to myself, I show up to that degree, you know? And it's everything that you're doing outside of your body and your life is always reflected to what's happening on in the inside and vice versa. So that reflection I take very seriously. So if I'm going to go out and make a plan with someone and then it comes around and I go, you know what, I really am not jiving with that anymore. 99% of the time I'm going to still follow through even though I fucking really don't want to, and I'll find a way to make the most of it.
Yeah, and the best part of that, because I know our friends at home or wherever you are, I know you are up. The only watch on your lunch break, okay? but I know what's happening is we all do that, okay?
Sure.
We are like, damn it, and every one of us does it. If you don't think you do that, you do it, or you just don't show up at all. But love the best part about what you said, okay? And what that is we all commit, and then we're all. Why did I sign up for that? And the thing is, let's assume that you get there and it isn't a blast and you were wrong and you really should believe them and do it again. Forget that. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying like, you were right. You really didn't want to do it. You probably shouldn't have done it, but you did it because you're a good person. I love the fact that you are like, note to self.
Yeah.
I'm not going
to. This feels uncomfortable. And I said yes to something I should have said no to. And now I know.
Yeah. And when you say journaling, I just want to make sure because journaling is one of those things. Can you take, this is why our conversations are so much fun. Can you take a 2 minutes or however long you need, but to tell what journaling is, because I think I do it, but I don't call it that.
Yeah. You can get that. I don't even know if I need to describe journaling. It's obviously writing things down.
Yes.
But the concept that I'm playing with when I do that, it's essentially cementing into my mind by putting something external to the
And why does that
consistent
work?
Consistent brainstorm that's happening.
Because we know it works,
yeah,
but
it
why
works
does it work?
Because we have multiple layers of thoughts going on in our head at all times, right? If you just sat in the quiet, this is why most people won't meditate, because they are afraid of all the storm that's going on in there. And by the way, you get used to it. It gets more comfortable. You start realizing that you can just focus on one line of thought or none if you'd like or whatever. The idea of sifting through all those thoughts, right, and putting something outside of yourself. So in this case, there's some suffering that comes from not wanting to show up to this thing right. I've set on the calendar. Mm-hmm. And I know I said yes to it. Now, this is the brainstorm. I haven't journaled yet. I know I said yes to it for probably a reason that I was trying. I was a little scared that I was not going to be accepted by this person, or I wasn't going to be liked if I said no.
Or maybe you thought you really need to do it, but then you're like, wait, why am I doing this?
Yeah, I thought I was going to have FOMO, whatever. Yeah. And maybe I could have committed in a way that wasn't so, like, I could have been like, I will try to make it, but I'm not 100%, you know, I could have done it a different way. Mm-hmm. Which we should have that conversation, because that's a really important one.
Yeah, yeah.
About people who
I'll
have
journal
commit.
That.
Because again, this whole episode's about commitment.
Yep, okay.
But, the journaling piece is just we can do that in a lot of other ways, where like we speak it out loud to someone is a good way. But I think journaling, because something about putting it outside your body on paper or even into your, you know, notes in your phone or whatever it is, when you see the words that were just ruminating in your mind spelled out, and you can even read them back, you can see them outside of your body. It's like it makes it something you can finally work on. Instead of it being something that's hard to grasp because it's mixed up with all the other thoughts and layers of things you got to do today that are going on in your mind. So when you put it in that more finite place, like a journal, you finally get to work with it.
Yeah, and it's brain to hand, hand to paper, you know, paper back to eyes, eyes into brain. So it's not just this, oh, I thought about it, there, we're good. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, write it. What I do, and I think this is why I wanted to say it, is I have this calendar that looks like the most neurotic calendar ever. And it's not really like I have that many appointments. If I pull my calendar out, you guys would be like, what is wrong with that guy? But really all it is, it's just a checklist, because I'm not good with checklists, because that's another app and whatever. But I just, because I'm lazy. But in the calendar, you know, I do have things I have to do at a certain time, but it's only like one or two things a day. Like I have a meeting here, a meeting there. Mm-hmm. Or phone call with you or whatever it is. But I, a lot of time, what I do is exactly what you said, but it just happens to be in my calendar app. Mm-hmm. And what I do is say, hey, like when this guy or you know, don't, it would be usually a don't do this.
Yeah.
Like don't, I don't know, pick your fingernails. That's an easy one. Because you forget and you're like, oh, damn it.
I already wrote it down, so it's permanent.
So it's permanent. And yeah. I remind me based either weekly or daily. And then one would be like, don't talk too much shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's
and isn't
one.
It kind of like when you write it down, you're making a commitment to the universe, kind of. You know, mm-hmm, you're like, mm-hmm. You made it real because you wrote it down. It's not just like one of those thoughts that pass through in your head that aren't real. It's when you put it down on paper, it becomes something that you can report back to. And I love that you put it in a calendar. I put it in my notes app, which has, it dates it on its own. So
okay.
Yeah, it goes in chronological order of dating. Yeah. Whatever date it is. So, which is beautiful because if it's a long journal where I really worked something out, let's say like, okay, I set another, you know, I don't know, dinner appointment with that person who doesn't, you know, ever really add to the car, whatever. Doesn't really ever give me anything that makes me feel like we should continue this relationship, but here I am again because I want to be a nice person or whatever. And I journal a whole thing of why did I say yes to that again? Because I'm, you know, I'm still working through this people pleaser mode and I didn't want to make them feel bad because that would have made me feel bad. You know, if I just said no and stood up for myself, I would have felt like I might hurt them and I'm not strong enough to, you know. And I work through whatever that means.
Because at one point you become the problem in it. And if you don't
correct, you're always the problem in it.
Well, that's true. Right.
We're always trying to figure out what's the part we can actually control. Like what is our side of the
street? And that's such an easy one. Go into your notes and say, hey, next time Sucky Sally wants to go to cancel me,
and because
Karen.
It's dated, you know, it's in your calendar or it's in your notes section or something, you know, it's in a journal where you put the date on it. My mom always told me, like, date things because you will be so surprised what a date will do for you. Because when you go back and you just look back, you go, wow, a year ago, this is what I was thinking. And look at me now. I'm so good at saying no, you know, to people.
Well, yeah. And forget the fact, and you're going to love me for this one, although this is going against my better judgment, but I'm going to do it anyway, is forget the fact that there's something really weird going on. And what you mentioned is once you write it down, there's something like universal, that it goes out into this ether that is the universe I can just say the ether is the only way I can describe it. And it somehow will live independently in the ether. And it actually exists in the universe and it becomes a truth floating around in the universe somewhere. And now it just, even if you never read it again.
No, you created it.
You created it. Yeah. And that's
what's
neat.
It's like birthing literal little creations whenever you write stuff down, because it's just like, why do we call a story, you know, art? It's because we created a thing.
Or invention. It's invention if you look at it that way.
Sure.
Right?
And whatever, I mean, anyway, we can go down
yes,
a whole
we can, but
rabbit hole.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I was, okay. So back to the commitment thing. Okay. So we've got a scenario where you need to do your work. You've give, you know, her some whatevers. And then now it's on you. Okay. At one point it's like, you know, shame on you. First, I same shame on me. The mm-hmm. second one. So you've got, that's one. What's another, I mean, that's a commitment that we all can kind of like see tangibly. Like, I committed to something, I didn't show up. Why, you know, what is another kind of commitment that's not so out there, but that's very, that's tangible, that you notice in other people that you may or may not, you find some attractive, the uncommittal people or non-committal unattractive or failure to commit or whatever is that? Is there another kind of commitment?
Yeah.
Issue?
Well, what we were, I said, let's bring it back to that point about when people half commit to something. So, if you know that, you know, this event's coming up where your friends are going to get together and it's going to be at a place that you're not really excited to go because, you know, they're all going to, I don't know, I'm just fucking making it up.
That's right.
They're all going to be, you know, drinking, and maybe your friends all love to get wasted and you're not one of those people. And so you kind of want to go. You have a little bit of that FOMO, but you're also like, I'd love to have more constructive time with those people. And there's probably some other event that I'd like to attend better with them, or maybe there's something else that I want to do instead, or something else more constructive I might do with my time than hanging out at a bar. Whatever it is, I don't know. I'm not
like drinking home by myself.
Yeah, who knows?
With a picture of my ex.
Who knows?
Don't do that.
Stalk my exes on social media. There's all kinds of better things to do.
Sign up for a fake account and then like.
So anyway, the point is that if there's something that you feel that you might want to commit to, if there's nothing better going on, right?
Yeah.
But you also don't want to commit to 100% because you're not sure when the date shows up that you're going to really feel like going and taking on that. And you know, whatever the energy that's going to be required for whatever the thing is. I'm just making up a fucking story with this friends at the bar or whatever, but whatever that's going to be. And so you half commit. Now that is, I think, allowed sometimes, but if you're the person who half commits to everything, then you have a fucking problem with commitment. You have a problem with showing up.
Yeah. Can you say that again? Are you saying the person that half commits?
The person that constantly just says, thank you so much for the invite. That sounds like so much fun. This is constantly, every time you invite them, right? It sounds like so much fun, and I'll do my best to show up, but I'm not sure, I'm not 100% in because XYZ, whatever their fucking excuse is.
Because I'm very important, and I want to see if I get a better offer.
And I want to see if I get a better offer.
F you.
The
right?
first time someone does that, there may be a good reason, and you can be believable. Again, it's like a third strike.
And
third
it does, hold on, it does depend on what your invite is for. If it's for like a casting or something, that's different. But if it's for like a party or hang out with my buddies.
Of course, it's got to,
qualified it, sorry.
And especially if you send the same exact invite every time, if it's like, come to the bar, and that person is like, I don't really fucking like going to bars, then it makes sense that they say no every time. But if you're like,
but you're just
hey,
doing
come over and hang out and it's just you and I, you get pretty clear pretty quickly after the second or third time that they put you as a back burner option that they're just not that into you. They're just not that committed to your friendship or your, you know, partnership, if it's romantic or whatever it is.
And I know our people, some of our people watching are probably saying, well, yeah, I can see that. But think about, and I, you're why I'm asking this, but think about times where you have either texted or hit them up on social media or called, and they're, and the girl is saying like, oh, well, yeah, let me think about it.
I'll get back to you.
Yeah. And you're the guy who's like, okay. Yeah. And then you're like, hey, Cindy, you, like you want to do it again? And you're a douche.
And you feel just abandoned, left, and unwanted. And it's no fun for anybody. So you'd rather just someone be fucking honest from the get.
Yeah, and it's not quite ghosting, but in a way it is, right?
It is. It's a semi-ghost. So it's like, it's not brave. It's like when you're doing it on a repetitive nature, you know, when you keep doing this thing, it's obvious, you should become obvious to yourself if you're the person who keeps doing it, like, you need to just be honest. Like, hey, I don't really love going to bars. I know I'm using that example just because I don't really love going to bars. I love that you're inviting me to things, though, but I'd be happy to do a hike with you next weekend. I don't know. You know, I'm using my
If you really care. Right. If you really care.
No, if you really want to, which is where you make it evident that you want to keep a connection.
Now, how would you handle... Oh, sorry.
I want to just add, because it popped in my mind when we were talking about, you know, the way we perceive each other in conversation. If someone says this and what we're talking about here, there's something I make my partner... say, so like he used to always say, if I said, hey, do you want some of this thing I'm making for lunch? Or, you know, something like a question that's simple as that, right? And the question's like, or the answer's like, sure. To me, bothers me.
I'm gonna be like, what are you making?
Well, no. I'll tell him what I'm making. I got it. And it's like, sure.
Instead sure's a horrible answer to anything. Yeah, sure's horrible.
Yeah, I don't know why. That, maybe I'm a psychopath. Probably.
No. Sure's a horrible answer. It just is. It just, I agree.
But sure is like,
It's maybe I don't give a shit about what you're doing.
Now I was like offering something loving, you know, to do an act of service in this case.
And well, you're taking the time to do it too.
Sure. And from him, of course, he was saying it as yes, because that's just the word he's trained to say or whatever reason he's decided that's the word he uses.
Yeah, but they're sure and they're sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And, but see, in text message, you don't know. It's just sure. And it's always.
You're right. Good point.
It's always sure.
With a period.
Right. Or just nothing. Just S-U-R-E because we don't take a lot of time to figure out how to make it.
At least
it
use the exclamation point.
With something or like love markers or like whatever. But that's a whole, we're getting too deep in that.
That's
but the point is like even as simple as a word like sure being changed to a word like yes or certainly, like I'm certain about what I want.
Or me would be duh.
I know my direction. I want this thing is so much more exciting and literally so much juicier for me. Like now I want to make the thing I'm in, or I want to give the love through this act of service, or I, you know, I want to do whatever it was instead of sure. And now I'm like, well, do you actually fucking want this or not?
Yeah. What the fuck? Yeah. And so I want to get into that because as a brief aside, we should do a thing on texting and, or whatever, some messaging, whatever it is. And about like, why don't you think about how they're going to look at that? Like what you just said, because there's some nuances in the way you text that might come across as,
we've talked about that a bit in the show.
Okay. So let's back to the scenario. So we have, you know, Karen canceling Karen or whatever she is, but it's not her. Okay. It's your guy. And you're like, hey, you know, you want to go get coffee? And she's like, well, let me, and she throws that whatever scenario was, like, well, let me see. I got something. So let me see if I can do it. Okay. So you're like, okay, cool. Let me know. And that's it. We're done. Now she has to cancel.
Karen's name is just getting abused. No, it's not Karen.
It's I like Cindy. I don't know why I like Cindy so much. Like there's this girl I know. She's a Latina. She's hilarious. Anytime she's doing the voice of an annoying, like she called like a gringa, it should be like Rachel, like Rachel. And I'm like, Rachel. Like I know a couple of Rachels are cool, but like, she's like, I don't know what Rachel. Mine is Cindy.
I like show up Cindy. And then we need someone who's the non-committal Nancy.
Yeah. Non-committal Nancy.
That's kind of good.
Yeah. I guess we're kind of stealing from negative Nancy, but I like non-committal.
You're right. We are.
Non-committal Connie. I don't know.
Noah. Does it have to be a female?
No, it could be a guy. Non-committal Noah. Non-committal Noah. That's our new guy. Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy.
And if you're
going
to change your name to it, don't change it to Noah. So let's say you are the guy. I'm just going to use a guy and girl. Yeah. And because I think it happens and you're the guy and the girl does that to you. Like you're, you know, and you're like, okay, fine, whatever. And you don't worry about it because you've got a good foundation. You're not going to worry about it because you've been watching the show and you're really smart and all that stuff. So, but the second time now you're like, okay, well, hey, I'm going to hike up behind the Hollywood sign And whatever park that's called, is it Hollywood Park? Probably Hollywood Sign Park. Good job, guys. I don't know what that's actually called, but we did it. It's fun.
Yeah.
And with your mom actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you say, "Oh, this would be really fun," and you know she likes kind of this hiking. It'd be quick. And she says, "Well, I don't know." Da 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 da. Now we know when she doesn't show up, but if she does that same thing again. And I know we might have talked about this, but I'm going to need some clarification. She does that again, and she's like, "Well, I don't know. I got to see what's going on." What should you do, conscious Ken? What should you do, conscious Ken? What should he do?
Okay, you said a lot of words. Say it.
Okay,
say
so
just the question.
I know I'm trying to confuse you. So first time he asks girl, "Hey, you want to get some coffee?"
Go on
she's
that.
Like, "Well, I don't
okay.
know if I can do it."
The
whatever.
Next time, do you want to go on a hike?
And she says the same basic
right.
thing. Well, I don't
like,
know.
I can't show up.
Because the first time she didn't show up, mm-hmm. and now it's like, okay, what should he do? Should he just, okay, well, if it happens, it happens. Or just be like, okay, that's fine. But if it doesn't happen again, should he hit her up again? Or is that like a ghosting?
I think it's fair to say,
let me know when you have time or
yes,
whatever.
Yes, okay. To put the ball in her court.
So can we just,
absolutely.
I think that's worth saying again, and that is answer a really good answer to the question that I didn't really think about is, so Ken goes and says the second time, "Hey, do you want to go hiking behind the Hollywood Sun?" She's like, "Oh, I don't know." Yeah, that's cool. No worries. But listen, I know you're busy. You're cool. Let me know if you ever want to do anything. I'm here. You got my number.
Yeah.
That's exactly. a good one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good.
Definitely leave the ball in someone else's court who can't seem to commit all the way through.
Because as we talked about before, she might have something going on. I mean,
sure, we don't know. And it's not, we're not trying to burn bridges here.
Yeah, right.
And it might be a little too forward to be like, "Well, are you interested or not?" You know, and really that's just a lot of stress on you. So just putting the ball in the other person's court and moving on with your life, I think is the best way to go about it.
Okay. So we've got some of the commitments. What are other things that you've noticed that, okay, so I have a commitment question for you. So I think we talked about this a little bit in this dark horse kind of mannerism we mm-hmm. talked about in the past. Mm-hmm. So if I am committing to something and let's say you, "Hey, we're having a get together. It's a cookout."
Okay.
And, you know, just bring, I need you to bring a, this is easy, but I want you to bring a liquor drink or a type of alcohol.
Yeah, BYOB.
BYOB, but not just for you, but for everybody.
Oh, okay.
And I want you to bring something. Hey, do I need to bring it? Yeah, bring this.
Okay.
And that's always a weird one too. But I always have like bottles of something that I just grab even
okay.
though. Okay. So anyway, you're there and you're going and you're this guy, you're Bow Out Bruce.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Or not, maybe not a good one. Or you're half ass Harry.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're half ass Harry and you're like, okay, they said to bring alcohol. Do you, mm-hmm. as a conscientious female that is attractive, that has a status that us guys think is of a high value, whatever that is. Do you are like, okay, he just brought like crappy beer.
Mm.
Or
do
he,
I judge him on
yeah,
his
or he went out and bought
generosity?
A, wow, he bought like three little handles of vodka and damn, okay, all right.
He,
like,
really
he took it
showed
seriously.
Up. Uh-huh.
He took it seriously.
So this is funny because this is kind of like gender specific a lot of the time.
Maybe
it
is. Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
Not always, of
okay.
course, but a lot of the time it's like if you ask a female to bring a appetizer.
She
or
does
drink,
it and it's a good
she's
job.
She's going to do it. And then extra on top of it, just extra credit, make sure that everybody's happy with that. You know, there's,
and she's
going
to care.
Yeah. And there's more of that people pleaser mentality in women just generally. With men, it's more like, if I can make it happen, first of all, I said yes. And I'm stereotyping, right?
No, I
this
get
is
it.
Not all men.
I get it.
But if I can make it happen, I'll get to it or whatever I've got in my fridge, I'll just bring that or, you know, a case of beer should do it. And without really stopping to
and it's
think
in his,
about,
it's
yeah.
in his, he's got, he drank like three of
sure.
them and they're in it. Right. Okay.
And he's not really taking the, you know, the time to slow down and think about or consider how that's going to go over.
And we might love those guys anyway. We might wait, but that's something my kid
would
do.
And we learned pretty quickly not to ask them for too much, which is kind of sad because now they're known as not the show up guy. You can't trust him.
Not the show up Sean.
Not the, yeah.
Okay.
And he's the half-ass Harry and we can't have him, we can't ask him for much, which sucks. Guys, you think that that's your freedom.
Like,
and that's why we started
and,
out
yeah.
this conversation yeah. with, you think that commitment is going to take away your freedom. And that's what half-ass Harry is believing in some sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not committing fully to whatever his job has been
yeah.
described as or whatever the relationship he's supposed to be committed to, whatever it is, or to himself, right? And the obvious mistake here or misconception that half-ass Harry is having is that freedom has somehow to do with not committing to anything so that he can just float like a vagabond from place to place with no ties and no attachments. But the reality is freedom comes from actually enacting discipline of knowing what you...
Your capabilities, your, maybe?
Exactly. Knowing okay. yourself, knowing your capabilities, knowing what you bring to the table, in this case, literally. So, yeah, I mean, the guy who... Because he can't... Now he's not someone who... can really be trusted to show up.
Yeah,
you know?
That's
you
true.
Can't I mean, count on him.
Or he just comes and he's like, I'm just going to drink the beer and hit on the girls and then I'm going to just take advantage of this whole thing. And then that'd be like cheap Charlie or something.
Yeah.
But we're not labeling. This is funny. We're doing it to be funny. But so, okay, that's good. Okay, another question for you. I'm just hammering you away with this commitment stuff. Let's talk about like timeliness of showing up to, and I'm being very practical, but let's show sure. about like, when either, let's talk about a date, okay? And, you know, my misconception or conception is that women tend to be, and I'm being a generalist here, but I'm just going to throw this out there just to be funny. Women are always late to dates. And the date, you know, we're going to meet at 6 o'clock at, you know, Fancy Fred's restaurant, and you are going to show up and, you know, we're going to meet at 6. Now, if the girl doesn't show up and it's 6:10 and she's like, hey, I'm sorry, I'm running late. I'll be there. And she's there at 6:15. So it's within, and I'm tolerable, but it's fine.
Yeah,
big deal.
Okay, so tardiness. Yeah,
tardiness, uh-huh. tardiness. Let's talk about tardiness. And you as a female, if some guy says, hey, we're going to have a dinner yeah. at 6, what, let's talk about that meeting at 6, and mm-hmm. it's for a dinner, and it is could be interpreted as a date.
Yeah. I personally am not extraordinarily strict on tardiness when it comes to something that lacks like an invitation to a house, like somewhere where you're already comfortable. Okay. When it's a meeting place where it's multiple people involved, so like somebody's going to probably show up on time mm. and somebody... I'm not super strict on that, but when it's like two people meeting each other on a date and that's it, right? Just a one-on-one, then you want to be very close, I think, to the time that you agreed on so that you can not be sitting there alone. Because I think the thing that people should yeah. really consider when it comes to relationship is that when you leave someone sitting alone, they're feeling the sensation of abandonment. Right? It's not distracted by a friend because you're on a group date or something like that and you showed up late to that. It's like they are noticing what it is to be left by you before they've even, you know, the relationship has even blossomed.
Yeah, because
not a good thing.
That's, you just painted this picture and I'm like, oh, so devastating because you have this, let's say the guy, and you know, he took a shower and he was like, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to wear that, I'm going to get, and he's all ready because he's got all this nervous energy and that's fun and it's exciting.
Yeah.
And
I think within 15 minutes, by the way, just to be clear, okay. It's like within 15 minutes, we're, I think, in the safe zone.
Okay, what? Let me ask you this. So let's say I'm sitting there, or you know, the guy's sitting there, and now she's communicating kind of. I'm not saying she's like, listen, here's look at my Google. That you don't have to do this, but like, look at the Google or look at the map. I'm in trouble. I don't know what's going on. I'm hauling ass together. I'm really sorry. Not that. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about like, yeah, I'll be there soon. And it's now it's like 30 minutes.
Okay, and he's communicating with you though on this scenario, or not?
Yeah, see, that's a tough one. Let's say they're
and
not.
Now
at
we
all.
Have
let's,
cell phones.
Let's just
such.
Say they're not at all. They're not communicating, and now you're at your
that's
meeting was at 6.
That's not cool.
It's 6:25. Your meeting was at 6. I'm the guy because I can speak for the guy, and I'm sitting there. I hope to God I have a good bartender, a good way who can detect this.
Yeah.
And usually they're fun, like, oh, no worries, bro, because like,
right.
is they're your girl going to show right. up?
Even 15 minutes, if you're not communicating your lateness, like I think you should communicate your lateness either before
quickly.
You're late or right as you're becoming late, like on the dot, right?
Yes.
Like, hey, you're essentially acknowledging that you fucking know you were supposed to be there. I'm X minutes away. So, you know, you don't even have to say necessarily sorry. Thanks for understanding if you want to keep the sorry word out, which I try to do a lot.
Yeah, because like what you're saying is now with the age of cell phones, there's no excuse for not communicating.
Exactly.
Just not,
there's
oh,
no
I'm driving.
Excuse.
Well, how about call?
You know? Exactly.
There's no excuse. Okay, so the
and
fact-
call would be fabulous. Call would be the best thing you could possibly do because even if you're driving, you can do that for most part, and you're kind of already on the date then. Your car kind of already there when you're calling.
And you could have a lot of fun with this too.
Yeah.
Like if I'm a guy and I'm going on a date with a girl and she and I'm kind of waiting and she's waiting and she's I'm like, yeah. I'm gonna call her because what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna have fun with it because I know she's sitting there, she's like, oh my God. And I'm gonna say, I mean, I don't know, I'm just saying, I'm gonna call and be like, yo, what are you wearing? I'm gonna make her laugh. Oh, okay. Like I'm gonna make her laugh and sit there. Like I'll do that, you know. And it's like
something that's gonna build the
you
excitement.
Get a drink
for
on me, girl.
Whatever's coming.
Yeah, exactly. So, but forget that scenario. I'm there 6 o'clock. Okay, and I'm like, so excited. And because you have to, as a female, you or anybody, you got to put yourself in their shoes. You have to be highly empathetic. Mm-hmm. He's sitting there and he's like, Oh my God. Yeah. How, and now in the age of cell phones, it's six. What time should he be like, oh, wow. Like what should he do at what point?
This is the guy waiting for.
Yeah. The guy waiting, he's got his phone with him and he's just looking at the news. At what point should he do what?
If there has been no text in 30 minutes and it's six have gone by, you're gone.
So it's 6:30.
Yeah.
It's 6:30. Just to clarify, he should get up, you know, pay whatever, leave and just ignore her. Or what do you think?
Oh no. Like if she later was like, oh my God, I missed the date or where are you?
Or whatever. Something like that. Well, then you could reignite that and you play that by ear. Right. But if she just doesn't, that's a ghost.
Well, that's a ghost. Yeah.
And done with her. Okay. I know that sounds simple.
In this day and age, it's a like, hard ghost because I don't think people usually ghost in person
these days and age.
They're just ghosting like on text, like, hey, do you want to hang out tonight? Crickets. You know.
I think it's worth noting though, because I think that I grew up dating in an age before cell phones. Mm-hmm. And so I always forget that because everybody I go hang out with, like a lunch date, it's always a friend. It's never,
you can tell them like minute by minute how close you are.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, I'm here. Because usually what I was like, hey, I got us a table, turn left and I'll be there. Oh, hey, I'll be there in 5 minutes. Sorry, mm-hmm. I'm running late. Okay, big deal. Yeah. And so, and that's easy. But in the age of the cell phone that I did not grow up in in a dating world, what you're saying is there's just no excuse for you, the guy, to sit there for too long, right? Because she should have texted you.
There's no excuse.
Well, for her to do that, but then there's no excuse for you to receive it that way and still sit there and like, oh, maybe she's going to call me.
Oh, yeah. But I think that, I mean, yeah.
I know this is stating the obvious, but remember, I'm a dinosaur here.
Yeah. Well, I think, and that's what we're, you know, maybe just to wrap this back around to the idea of commitment being an issue we need to look at in ourselves and see whether we're overcommitting to things that we should be saying no to or undercommitting to things because we're afraid of it taking our freedom or we're afraid of the date showing up and, you know, we're bummed that we did that or something better coming up or something like that. It's all about checking in on our nervous system. Like what's going on when someone asks us, you know, or invites us out to a party, let's say, and we have social anxiety, we know that about ourselves. So we're like hesitant to know if on the day of, am I going to be feeling up to it? Am I going to be having one of my moods, you know, whatever it is. And instead we got to think about like, if I'm having one of my moods on the day of when it shows up, first of all, where did that moon fucking come from? Did it actually start long before, like the day before when you looked at your calendar and you saw that you have that thing coming up? And that's really what your mood started from. It's like a pre-social anxiety thing.
Yeah, and it's not the other party's fault.
Well, of course it's not the other party's fault.
And you can't, but don't blame them. It's yourself.
And I don't think people blame them for their social anxiety. I think they blame themselves for their social anxiety, but then they don't go do the work of strengthening their nervous system so that they can go they can show up to their commitments.
And maybe the best thing for them to do is just pony up and go.
Or they don't strengthen their nervous systems so that and it definitely is sometimes pony up and go is what needs to happen because that's all part of the strengthening process. But on the other end of it, they may have not strengthened their nervous system, you know, been focusing on their nervous system strength in order to be able to say no to something in the beginning.
So
yeah,
like yourself.
If it didn't fit themselves.
Yeah, know yourself. And as we depart here.
Well, not just know yourself. I just want to say, because I know I'm using the term nervous system, that seems kind of weird, but we all have one. You know, it's the thing that kind of dictates our nervousness, and social anxiety is part of that. So if we're thinking about ourselves as these beings that respond to fear first and foremost.
Electrical signals.
Totally. And then, then whenever we're thinking about saying yes to a commitment, feel what that commitment feels like when you actually like think about going.
What
to
do
the
you call
event.
That? That's like not projection. What is that when you can like literally you war game in your head
it's
what
like
it's going to be
envisionment.
Like. Envisionment. Yeah. Okay, envisionment. So that's a good. That's a really good one because before you say yes, say let me just take a moment, meditate, or envision this.
And
let me
saying yes because I'm people pleasing?
FOMO, whatever it is.
Yeah, or is this something that I'm, you know, actually really want to do and it lights me up inside, you know?
Yeah.
And there's also another way on the opposite side where when you say no to something, you can decide when you feel that fear come up in your body, I always ask myself, is it a new, like N-E-W, is this something new? And that's why I feel the fear because it's new and I'm going to have to go through the scariness of being new. Or is it a no? Because a lot of times we say no to something that feels scary just because it's new, but we need to stand with that, face the newness of it, because it won't be new for long, right? Mm-hmm. As soon as you experience it. Instead of going straight to no, like, nope, that's too uncomfortable, my nervous system collapsed, I'm gone, you know? It's like, well, is it just new? Because you can probably make it through that if it's new.
And is it okay if you say no, and then you're like, well, I think I'm gonna, and it's a totally, it's okay, right? Assuming there's not some lockout on the invitation or whatever. Right. It's okay to be like, hey, I know I said no before, but I'd really like to see you and or be part of your fun, whatever it is, and
sure.
I'm gonna show up.
Yeah.
It's so much better than just saying no and sticking to no. If
it's so much better
than
that, and it's almost so much better. I think that's unlikely for people to, like, people when they say no, they're like, cool, I don't have to do that. You know, who we're talking to with this commitment issue is more likely.
Well, I've done that a couple times. Like, oh, I can't do it. And then I'm like,
yeah, but you're extremely
extroverted.
I'm
going to
do it. But you like people. You're outwardly.
Yeah, I like people.
You put yourself out there. So
I don't like our production crew, but I like you. You're okay.
I don't know who we're talking to you with this episode.
I don't know. Okay, so I'm just going to throw the segue to the parting word, if you're okay with that. And what that, and but you, you know, what that is this: if you're ever sitting there and you're sitting there by yourself at this restaurant, you're waiting on this wonderful person to show up, just open up, you know, Mercedes and the Chap, and just watch any episode, but be sure to comment and like, and do all that and subscribe and all that fun stuff. Right, Mercedes? And you'll make her very happy. You don't want to upset her, and don't non-commit to Mercedes.
I definitely am on board with all you just said. And I wanted to mention, just as our kind of closing thoughts here, that I get so giggly and stupid about the maybe silliest things, but have you ever thought about how the uncommitted man is extraordinarily committed to being uncommitted?
Oh, yeah. He's like, I'm uncommitted because I'm the cowboy.
Remember, guys, your depth is only as deep as your ability to commit. And the final words for us today is that you can show up bravely, vulnerable, with your hopes and intentions for commitment in relationship before the other person does. That's the question. Can you do it? Can you show up in relationship committed before the other person? Because a lot of the time we're waiting for them to commit and make
all
those moves.
Challenge.
Yeah. So can you be the brave one? I want you to think about it. All right. If not, then this is your cue to begin self-inquiry.
Yeah.
And you know, we're always pushing that. All right, guys. So as Chap said, subscribe, comment, connect through the links below. Share this with someone who might need to hear it. And as always, we're reminding you that you already are.